Hello and welcome to Cup of Tea's 3-Minute Reviews. We're doing something a little different this week, seeing as how this is Halloween week. Now, if you are getting together with some friends this Halloween and you're looking for a movie to watch, what movie might be a good one to satisfy the crowd? Well, Michael and I take a look at 3 horror films that we have watched over the past year, and we're going to see if we would still recommend them and see how they hold up in retrospect. And now, of course, I'm joined by Michael Horecki.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining me. So, Michael, the 3 movies in the past year that we have reviewed that qualify as horror films are Idle Hands, Fear, and Zombievers. Now, the first 2 we agreed on, the 3rd one we were split on. But we're going to start with Idle Hands. Michael, how has this film held up in retrospect?
Tim, this film has held up pretty well, actually, which is kind of surprising because at the time, we were so into this movie. It was so good. And I was worried that it was going to diminish over time and that perhaps that was just in the recency moment. I was like loving it and it wasn't going to age well. But it's really stuck with me. There are parts of this film that, in terms of the kills, in terms of it just being entertaining, in terms of some weirdly memorable scenes that this film has stuck with. And this is now the most recommended movie I've been putting out to friends and family for this Halloween season when they're looking for something maybe a little new or different to watch.
This one has stayed with me too, mostly because you won't stop talking about it, but also because of the fact that there are some really good elements in this movie. The elements that stick with me the most, and when I think of this movie, I think of the creativity behind a lot of the horror elements. Like you said, there's some really creative kills, and there's some really wild moments that have stayed in my memory, and I really appreciate a movie that can stay with me. Things like we talked about in the original review, a guy gets stabbed in the head with a beer bottle, and there's still beer in the bottle and sloshing around inside,
for the whole movie
inside this guy's head for the whole movie. It's great prosthetic work. It's a really funny bit, and it's good stuff, and I really appreciate that. What has stayed with you about the film, Michael?
Absolutely, Tim. I mean, I think the fact that some of these kills, some of the entertainment, I mean, the laughter that we had watching this movie has stuck with me. Yeah. I mean, this really has aged well. Mm-hmm. I put this on my top 5 good bad movies list when we did that
review.
That's right,
you did.
Absolutely, it deserves a spot up there. It is certainly different, and it's memorable. And at the end of the day, for me, it was super unexpected.
This
wasn't a movie that I thought was going to be good.
Yeah.
I went into this movie with 0 expectation, and it really blew that out of the water. Now, blowing out of the water 0, sure, you can take that as a negative, but actually surprising. And when we talk about good and bad movies, movies that surprise us are valuable.
Yeah.
And so this one certainly has stuck with me.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to put you on the spot, Tim, is there a specific scene or something about this movie that's really stuck with you when I bring up Idle Hands? Like, what jumps to mind?
What jumps to mind is one scene in particular. Just so everybody knows, we're going to spoil the hell out of all of these movies. So the scene that sticks with me, the main character, his hand is possessed by the devil, and it's causing him to kill people. And the devil hand grabs a saw blade and throws it through the air like a frisbee and cuts off a guy's head. It's shocking. I was not expecting that. It's silly, and I laughed out loud when it happened. The surprise factor and the laughter, it adds up to exactly what this movie does well. It's shocking, it's surprising, and it's really funny.
There's insane scenes in that same vein where he cuts off his own hand
because
he's trying to like get rid of the possessed hand.
He does with like a turkey
carving
knife.
A turkey knife, and then he tries to put it in the microwave to like kill
it's
bananas.
It's
absolutely insane. So, Tim, on the flip side, one of the critiques we had of this film was that it's kind of got this stoner element to it that didn't necessarily play well with us when we watched it. How's that aged for you?
When I think about this movie, the elements that I think of are horror elements, the comedy elements, the surprise, the wild premise. The stoner element, it doesn't even register for me. Now, I'm not a huge fan of stoner comedies. Pineapple Express did nothing for me. I've never watched Cheech and Chong. And for me, when I think about this movie, that's not even on the list. It doesn't even make the top 10 list of things that I think about with this movie. So what was initially a critique for me or a criticism for me is non-existent in retrospect. Now, what about you, Michael? What didn't work for you, and what do you think about now?
The other thing we brought up in the podcast was that the pacing of the film was really slow.
Yeah.
That it felt like it took about 20 minutes to get in, which is a kind of a sin in a movie that's only 90 minutes long.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a third of the movie. That has totally dissipated for me.
Yeah.
I totally forgot that was a concern that I had until we were really revisiting our notes on this movie.
Yeah.
And because of that, I feel better about this movie than I ever did.
Yeah.
And which is why I've been putting it forward and recommending it.
Yeah.
So this one, really, the stock has gone only up for me.
I think you can do a lot worse on your Halloween night than watching this movie. Get some friends together. I think this would be a good time for you.
And that was our recommendation, Tim, and I was going to ask you that. So Do we stand by that? Would you still stand by the fact that this is good to watch with a group of friends?
I would absolutely stand by this. I think this is perfect for a Halloween party. If you're getting together with friends this weekend, check this movie out. What about you?
I 1,000% agree. This is exactly the movie that I'm recommending to everyone, and I'm going to make numerous people in my life watch this Halloween weekend because this is the movie that really has stuck with me.
Perfect. Well, let's roll on then into Fear. Now, Fear is a movie that we've watched most recently. It's a 90s teen thriller more than it is a horror movie. There are no ghosts, there are no zombies, there are no devil hands. This is more of a thriller. It's about a teenage girl who gets involved with the wrong guy. and we both really agreed that this movie was a really solid, well-executed premise. Now, Michael, as we think back on this movie, what are the things that stand out to you and what stays with you about the movie?
Mark Wahlberg's performance has only continued to rise in my estimation here. I was so impressed by what he did in this movie that it made a lot of sense how he's become as famous as he has now based on the performance he gave here. Mm-hmm. And that is something that I didn't expect about this movie, was Mark Wahlberg being like the standout, you know? Like, he's not known for his acting ability, yet this movie really portrayed him well, and I think he really came off well as an actor here, and I really liked that.
Mm-hmm. Mark Wahlberg has basically been playing the same character for the last 10 years, which is just a variation of Mark Wahlberg. You know, a very serious, macho dude. But here, he's got a lot of levels that he plays, and he plays a lot of different variations, and I really appreciate him. And I appreciated him then, but even more so now. I definitely agree with you.
So one thing that we critiqued about this film that we didn't like mm-hmm. was that there's a pretty egregious plot twist in the middle where Mark Wahlberg's character is kind of cast into question, and we didn't really like that. How's that stood up for you?
Honestly, when I think about the movie now, that critique has really dropped. It's no longer in the top 10 things I think about with this movie. I think it's still a problem. I think that a failure in the writing is still a failure in the writing. But when I think back about this movie, it's not even an issue. I really think about Mark Wahlberg's performance. I think about Reese Witherspoon's performance. I think about how well executed and how slick the whole movie is. And I think about some of these crazy scenes, like when the dad and Mark Wahlberg have this weird confrontation outside the school. Like, there's some crazy stuff that happens. I don't know. What about you, Michael? Has that criticism held true to you?
No, I agree. It's totally dissipated. You know, it felt like this huge thing in the moment, and it certainly is not well done. Like, I agree that that is a problem, and when you watch it, you're going to feel that as a problem. Mm-hmm. But as I've aged past that initial watch, that's really fallen by the wayside. Yeah. And there are certain other things that have really risen. You know, there's this iconic scene where Mark Wahlberg rings the doorbell in the final climactic battle, and there's this wild play by Mark Wahlberg through the peephole. It's an incredible shot. It's incredible acting by Mark Wahlberg. Those moments have risen so much more for me, and a lot of these negatives have really dissipated. What about you? Is there a scene that sticks out?
The scene that sticks out most for me is a scene that involves Reese Witherspoon introducing Mark Wahlberg to her dad. I think Reese Witherspoon does a really nice job. I think her dad is good as her dad, but I think Mark Wahlberg really brings this charming, smarmy kind of quality to the performance, and especially in the final moment when the dad says, "Bring her home by 11 and not a minute early." And Mark Wahlberg promises that he will as he surreptitiously changes the clock back an hour so that he can take, you know, keep her out an extra hour. And he's got this sort of steely, malevolent look in his eye where I think a different actor would have looked like a charming thing. But the way he does it, I think it really brings sort of a menace to it. And I really appreciate that. And Mark Wahlberg is, you know, playing levels that he hasn't played in years, you know?
Both scenes we brought forward here just highlight how good Mark Wahlberg was in this movie. And the movie doesn't work if he's not great in it.
Yeah.
So, Tim, we both recommended this movie. Do you stand by your recommendation here?
I do stand by this recommendation. I think this is a really fun thriller, and I think that it's got a lot to offer, especially for anybody who's looking for a thriller this Halloween instead of a true horror movie. What about you, Michael?
100% agree, Tim. This movie was kind of billed as this kind of like cliche, like teen romance thriller, you know, it falls for the wrong guy.
Yeah.
But it really transcended that for me the more I've thought about it. Yeah. It's really stuck with me, and at the end of the day, when we talk good, bad movies, it's movies that stick with you that matter. Yeah. This one's done it for me.
Yeah. What I've appreciated about this conversation is that looking back and revisiting movies that we haven't seen in a while, you really kind of have a greater appreciation for what's important and what stands out. And I think we're in a world right now in which nitpicking and plot holes seem to be the end-all be-all of a quality movie. When, you know, like, yes, there are plot holes in this movie. Yes, there are plot holes in Idle Hands. But when we think back about how much we enjoyed the movie and how much fun we had, that's what stays with me. And this movie was fun, and Idle Hands was fun. Now, is the third film we're going to talk about still fun?
Yes.
The third film we're going to talk about is Zombievers. We split on this movie originally. Michael, what do you think about this film in retrospect?
Zombievers has gone through a fascinating evolution for me since I first watched it. Let me be very clear. I still really like this movie. But the things I initially identified about loving have really kind of fallen by the wayside, and there's been these new elements of the film that have risen to the top. For example, the title scene has this jazz standard song called Zombievers.
That's right.
And that's, like, stuck with me. I don't know why. It has nothing really to do with the movie itself, but it's memorable and it's weird, and it just, it's been with me ever since we watched that movie. And this movie, across the board, there are numerous things in this film that are like that for me that in the moment I did not appreciate, but for whatever random reason have stuck with me. There's this really crazy scene where they're stuck on the dock and there's all these zombievers swimming around them, and the boyfriend, like, throws the girlfriend's dog into the water to create a diversion so they can get off this, like, dock. It's a bizarre scene, but for whatever reason, that stuck with me. It's just real weird. What about you, Tim? This wasn't your favorite when we watched it.
Well, full confession time. I've watched this movie twice. The first time I watched it years ago by myself, I honestly, like, felt very positively about it. I thought, like, this is memorable. There's some really shocking moments in this movie that surprised me. It's got a really silly vibe that worked for me. And then I completely forgot I watched it. I did not remember a thing about this movie. Between that viewing and then the second viewing that you and I did together, I didn't remember watching this movie. Since watching it with you, you've not stopped talking about it. And I do remember watching it. But the second time I watched it, what really stuck out to me was how amateurish the whole film feels. It's very cheap, and it's very poorly executed, and it has no real skill or craft or quality behind it. And the more I think about the movie, that's what stands out to me, is that the film is not made with real intention, it's not made with any sort of quality or craft. It's all about, let's get to these shocking moments, let's get to the nudity, let's get to the blood and the guts and the violence. And everything else is just sort of window dressing, building up to that stuff.
So here's an interesting thing I'm curious your thoughts on, Tim. When I was revisiting our notes on what we highlighted as the negatives of this film, almost every single one of them doesn't feel very important to me. We highlight the fact that there's not a lot of character development.
Yeah.
Those things have kind of fallen by the side. But there's new problems that have arisen for me.
Yeah.
For example, you brought up the nudity. This is one that's really just kind of stuck in my mind and gotten bigger and bigger. Like, there is zero purpose nudity in this film. Yeah. It is literally just to have boobs on screen. Yeah. And it doesn't drive the plot forward. There's nothing, there's no value from it in any way. And that just feels so campy and cheap to me. Yeah. It makes me feel like the filmmakers didn't have any confidence in what they were putting on screen, so they thought they needed to make it more interesting by having someone take their top off. I don't like that, and that's really become a problem for me the more I've thought about this movie.
We had a really interesting conversation after we first watched this movie about nudity in films, and what is the purpose of nudity? Does it express character? Does it comment on themes? And the nude scene that comes to mind is in something like Titanic. In which the main character of Rose disrobes and she casts off the strict, restrictive clothing of her upper class upbringing. She's fully nude and she's vulnerable and she's free from the prison of this restrictive corset that she's forced to wear. And it's shot in a certain way and it's lit in a certain way to sort of express that idea. In this movie, the girl takes her top off and then she just stands around without a top on for, like, I don't know, it feels like an hour, but it's a solid chunk of the movie in which she's naked just for the sake of being naked. And I feel like this is a scene to me that expresses that the filmmakers had no intention behind what they were doing except to show boobs and to get that R rating and to get the nudity to the nudity label on their movie so that it would attract the lowest common denominator, you know, to scintillate the audience a little bit. The problem is the way they film it and the way they show it, it's not sexy, it's not interesting, and it just looks like gratuitous nudity for the sake of gratuitous nudity. And to me, when I'm watching a movie, I want something more than cheap nudity, cheap thrills, you know, poorly executed elements like that.
At the end of the day, it just is, it feels like they don't have confidence in what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like, why in the world would you have your actress do that? unless you felt that your scene wasn't exciting enough as it already was. Like, the part about Zombieber's nudity that drives me up the wall is the fact that someone made a decision. Someone had a conversation about that and thought that that was the right move for the film, mm-hmm. which means that there was a conversation that took place.
Yeah.
And that means that someone thought about this and thought this was the right move, which indicates to me a gross insecurity about the scenes that they were shooting in the movie.
Yeah.
And that for me is a huge problem, because the number one thing about good bad movies is a full commitment to what you're doing is awesome.
Yeah.
And if you're fully confident what you're making is awesome, yeah. you don't need nudity to seal the deal because your concept is so incredible. So that, for me, is one egregious sin in this movie that I didn't really feel in the moment, mm-hmm. but as I've sat and just marinated on this movie, yeah. month after month after month, has really risen to me as a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've talked about our problems with the movie. Are there any scenes or moments in the movie that really hold up to you or that really stand out to you?
The thing about Zombievers and why this movie has still continued to be on my positive list, and why I stand by my cup of tea recommendation here, is there are some incredibly memorable scenes that in the moment were shocking and have stuck with me.
True.
There's an incredibly crazy scene where one of the male protagonists just gets his dick bitten off by a zombie beaver. And it's totally unexpected, it's out of left field, and it's delivered almost like a jump scare.
Yeah.
It's insane! And it's so memorable because of that. There's another scene that's teased as a lesbian romance, and then it turns out that one of the women involved is actually a zombie beaver. Oh my gosh! And again, it's so crazy and it's so memorable, and they do this crazy special effect where her, like, teeth grow into beaver buck teeth. Like, I mean, it's campy and it's stupid, but it is incredibly memorable. And those are the moments about Zombievers that, as I think about the film, have stuck with me and are why that it's still on that recommended list for me.
Yeah. I mean, those moments are really good. The teeth effect that you described there is actually a really good effect. They did a really good job with that. Vividly remember that, and it has stayed with me. The problem is, they did one thing really good, and then they did a lot of stuff really bad. And when I think of how good that effect is, it just highlights to me how bad some of the other elements are. And to me, thinking about the good is weighed down by the bad. Whereas I think, it sounds like to you, the good elevates everything else.
This actually leads us into something, Tim, that we've become more nuanced about as we've done more of these reviews.
Hmm.
And it's been a while since we did Zombievers. This is one of the first reviews that we did together.
Yeah.
One thing we realized is that cup of tea model forces us into this. It's good or it's bad.
Yeah.
And kind of you use like a 50% marker as like, is it good, is it bad, is it over 50, is it under 50? One of the things we've been realizing is sometimes we'll disagree about movies, but it's like a 55-45, or it's even sometimes a 51-49, which we've had before too. And I think this movie kind of falls into that category. This movie is my cup of tea, but there's a lot of huge flaws with it that have run in my mind ever since we watched it. Yeah. Is it still my cup of tea? Absolutely it is. I stick by that recommendation, but this isn't a 90. This is like a 55.
Yeah.
And I think for you, if I were to guess, and you can tell me, but I know this isn't your cup of tea, but I don't think this is a 5%. This is maybe a little closer to that 50 mark.
It's, no, I mean, this is not a zero. This movie is not a zero.
And we've seen Nothing But Trouble. That's a zero.
Oh, that is less than a zero. If you can get it a negative number, Nothing But Trouble.
We'll need a new rating scale for that.
Oh my goodness.
So Tim,
yeah.
You've got this as not your cup of tea. Are you sticking with that review?
Oh, 100%. No, I am sticking with the fact that this is not my cup of tea. I would not recommend this film. It's got its charms, you know. There's something very charming about the low-rent quality of the movie and their commitment to the premise. But for me, it's not my cup of tea, and I'm not going to be recommending it. I think there are certain situations in which it would be enjoyable to watch. If you are in a certain group of friends, and you've had too many to drink, and you decide to put on a movie, this is one that I would be willing to fall asleep to while passed out on a couch.
Tim, something that we talked about off mic when we were recording this is that it requires a certain juvenile sense of humor, you know, to get into this movie. And so certainly it is not for everyone. And, you know, as I sit here thinking about, you know, the recommendation that I had made at the end of our last review was that this would be a really good movie to watch with a group of friends over Halloween.
Yeah.
I'm kind of stepping back from that a little bit. Mm. I do think it would be good with a group of friends, but as you said, it's got to be a certain group of friends.
Yeah.
It's not everyone who's going to appreciate this. And you kind of have to tap into this very, juvenile sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of appreciate the camp and the nudity and the ridiculousness of it all. And if that's for you, you're going to like this movie. Yep. But if you're looking for something that's going to have a little bit more coherency, a little bit more class, something like Idle Hands is probably a better fit. Yeah. Similar vibe, but just a very different approach.
In my, my initial review, I said that there are better versions of this movie out there. And I think that Idle Hands is a better version of this movie. It's a high concept, you know, devil hands, zombie beavers. It's juvenile humor. You know, there's a lot of pot jokes, there's a lot of nudity, there's a lot of sex jokes. And I think that Idle Hands just does it better. And I think that it's got a much better execution. I think it's got a much better presentation. And I think that they put a lot more care into how it's made as opposed to just why it's being made. And I think that for me, having seen Idle Hands and having seen Zombievers, watch Idle Hands. Zombievers, you can get a pass. You don't need to see this. There's a better version of this movie.
I think that's a really great critique, Tim, and I'm glad you are kind of closing on that, because I agree. Like, at the end of the day, Idle Hands is a better iteration of what this movie is. It scratches that same itch for me, you know? And at the end of the day, it has just less problematic issues, right? Idle Hands, its issues for us are pacing, or, you know, maybe there's a little bit, some weird camp and special effects. Some of the Zombievers problems are really egregious around nudity and around character development. And at the end of the day, that just doesn't age quite as well. So that's where I'd land on this, too. Start with Idle Hands. You can end here if you're interested.
There's an interesting double feature for you. Start your night with Idle Hands and then close the night out with Zombievers.
Several cocktails deep.
Several cocktails later, close with Zombievers. Thank you guys for listening. This has been Cup of Tea's 3-Minute Reviews.